Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you for joining us once again as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. And we're going to continue today in our study going through Paul's epistles to the church at Thessalonica. We're here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and we've been looking for the last couple of episodes here at verse number 7, which says, "So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." And we've been looking at this issue of the Apostle Paul talking about how the church at Thessalonica was an sample to these other local assemblies, this pattern. And we've been looking at the whole idea of who these assemblies are that the Apostle Paul is talking about, because these are some other places that Paul was ministering to during the early part of his ministry. Last time we spent some time going through who that assembly was in Macedonia. Now we're going to start looking at the idea of who this assembly was in Achaia here. And we're going to be looking at some of the things that are written about Paul's ministry. And let's go over to the book of Acts. We'll go to Acts chapter number 18, where we're going to see Luke is going to write about some things that happened related to Achaia here. And in Acts chapter number 18, let's start here, verse number 11. It says, "And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And Paul was now about to open his mouth. Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. So then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things." So as we see here in Acts chapter number 18, there are some things going on related to Paul's ministry in Corinth here, which is why it starts speaking about the Apostle Paul continuing there for a year and a half. And it brings up the issue of Gallio being made deputy of Achaia, them talking about the Apostle Paul and what he was doing there in that local assembly, the chaos that was coming about because of what he was teaching, all the things that were contrary to the law system that had been preached, and how Gallio cared for none of those things. It didn't matter to him what was going on, because he felt that this was something that was a problem that was of the Jews' own making related to the law system, and was going to let them handle whatever this situation is. But what we see here is that Corinth is part of this region of Achaia. And we know that if you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you see how there's a number of struggles that go on with this local assembly, as he has to write unto them that he couldn't even give them the meatier things of the doctrine, and he had to keep giving them milk because they couldn't understand what he was teaching them. And you can contrast that whole idea of him having to spend that year and a half where he was there, and contrast that with when we start looking at this epistle to the Thessalonian church, where we saw that he was only in Thessalonica for 3 Sabbath days. He holds them up as a pattern, talks about how they received the things that the Apostle Paul is giving to them, considering it all the Word of God, and yet these individuals who he ministered with for a year and a half, they're continuing to struggle with these things. As we continue on here in chapter 18, let's skip down here to verse number 24 here. It says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews in that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." So now we see Apollos here as it's speaking about the things that he had an understanding of. So it starts talking about how he understood only the things of the baptism of John. He encounters Priscilla and Aquila, who the passage identifies. They teach him, and were, you know, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So they're giving him a better understanding of the things of God's program. And there he is, he's going in, and you can see he's ministering to the Jews at this point, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ, identifying him as the Messiah, and he's going into Achaia teaching this message in this region to those who are of the nation of Israel, trying to get them into a belief system in their program. Let's go over to chapter number 19 in the book of Acts. And we're going to see here again this idea of Achaia. We're going to see the Apostle Paul, you know, purposing to go to this region here. And in chapter 19, let's read verse number 21. It says, "After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome." So we see that Paul, he keeps going back to these two regions, to Macedonia and Achaia, trying to give them the understanding that they need related to the message of the grace of God. He keeps going back. You know, Paul sees his responsibility of to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. He has the understanding that he's to try to keep preaching the gospel message that had been given to him, the message that he identifies and calls my gospel, and how he's to keep preaching the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing in that and that alone, which brings salvation. And as a result of somebody having the salvation, then they would start to have the edification and exhortation that would occur, the building up of the doctrine, allowing individuals to function properly, or as the Apostle Paul talks about with the church at Thessalonica, when he says that they're to be then the ensamples unto these other individuals, because they had accepted that gospel message. They had allowed the Word of God to work effectively in them. And as a result of the Word of God working effectively in them, they were living the life that God intends for members of the body of Christ to be living today. Now we see the Apostle Paul starts to make mention of this region in his epistles as well. Let's go over to Romans chapter number 15, where we see the Apostle Paul bring this up as well, and he's going to talk about some things related to the contributions that are going on here in Romans 15, verse 26. "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." So he's talking about these saints that we had talked about last time, about why there were individuals who were identified as being those poor saints. and the fact that these individuals in Macedonia and Achaia were giving in support of these individuals, and the Apostle Paul holds them up for the fact that they're doing this. Now let's go over to chapter number 16 here in Roman, in the book of Romans. And we're going to read here, let's read verse number 5. It says, "Likewise greet the churches in their house, salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ." So here, as the Apostle Paul is closing out this epistle to the church at Rome, you see in chapter number 16 where he keeps naming individuals to hold them up and say that this is an individual that you should be looking at as a pattern of some things in the Christian life. He tells them to salute Epaphras and calls him of the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. So Epaphras would have been one of the first individuals that would have actually received the salvation message that the Apostle Paul was preaching at that time. And as a result of his ministry, there had to have been things that Paul wanted them to actually be able to look at to say, this is how they were supposed to be living their lives. Now, he also holds up another individual that he calls the first fruits of Achaia as well. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And we're going to see this description of the house of Stephanas here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And I want to read here verses 15 and 16 of the chapter. It says, "I beseech you, there, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth." Now he, as he's writing to this church at Corinth, which obviously, as we had looked at in that passage in the book of Acts, had a relationship to the region of Achaia, that he holds up an individual from this region, calls him again the first fruits, and talks about how he had, him and all of his house had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That their whole lifestyle, that's what an addiction is, the fact that the whole life starts to revolve around whatever the issue is. And in this case, it's the ministry of the saints. That Stephanas and his whole house were trying to, you know, take care of the saints, and their whole life had all to do with taking care of the other members of the body of Christ. Now, we see here, let's go over to the book of 2 Corinthians now. Let's go to chapter number 1 in 2 Corinthians. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I want to read here verse number 1. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia." So again, he's writing here. Now as he's writing to this church at Corinth, he's writing with Timothy and talking about with all the saints which are in Achaia, how the other saints that are in this region are writing and trying to be a pattern for this assembly here. And we see the issue that goes on. Let's go over to chapter number 9. This is again going to go back to the idea of that giving principle here in chapter number 9. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, where it says, "For as touching to ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." So the idea being that Achaia has already been functioning in this manner functioning in the way that they would have the idea of understanding that they were supposed to be giving, supposed to be taking care of the other members of the body of Christ. Let's go over to chapter 11. This will be the last passage that we're going to look at. We're going to kind of see, tie these all together here in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 10. It says, "For as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia." So as he's going around and preaching these things, he's saying, no one is going to stop me from preaching these things. Now, when we look at Achaia, and as we wrap up the idea of looking at who these individuals are, we see that there's, you know, some good things with them of the fact that they had a care for the other members of the body of Christ. But we also see the bad side of it when you look at how the Apostle Paul has to talk about how they had a lack of understanding. And that's tying in with some of the things that you see in the early part of the book of 1 Corinthians, where they did not understand the meatier matters of the doctrine with it. So even though they had one aspect of things right, they still had to be able to look at this pattern. And the Thessalonian church was the perfect example for them to be able to look at, because they could look at a group of believers who had accepted the word of God in the way that it was supposed to be. Now, when we look at these things related to these other regions having this responsibility and looking at each other in this manner, you know, that's how the body of Christ is supposed to function. Unfortunately, the body of Christ doesn't function that way often today. The members of the body of Christ really try to do things to create walls among themselves and separate themselves from other groups of believers. And all these reasons that they come up with have nothing to do with what the doctrine would actually say related to the responsibility that we have to have relationships with the other members of the body of Christ. I want to go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, because we see the Apostle Paul is going to get into a lengthy discussion here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 about the true functioning of the body of Christ. And I want to start here in verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. And it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So we're going to continue on in this passage, but we see here this first truth that's being talked about here is the thing that happens the moment an individual puts their trust in that gospel message, that by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You know, regardless of the fact whether we're Jews or Gentiles, physically, the moment we put our trust in the gospel, we become members of the body of Christ today. And that's the only baptism that truly applies to a member of the body of Christ today. Now let's continue on here looking at the function of the body of Christ. Verse number 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members yet, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now we look at this passage and we see how the body of Christ is supposed to function, and how, as a result of what he's talking about here, and he uses the analogy of a physical body to help an individual have the understanding of what is really happening with the body of Christ, and how every member of the body of Christ is truly necessary. Every member of the body of Christ has a function in the body of Christ, is needed, and we are supposed to have a relationship with every member of the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear when he starts talking about this issue, when he says, you know, we go back up to verse number 21 again, when it says, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee." So, you know, the eye, which has the function of sight, can't say unto the hand, which has the function of touch and doing certain things, "I have no need of you." Then the Apostle Paul brings up another analogy and he says, you know, "Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." So the head, which would be the top part of the body, can't say to the feet, the very lowest part of the body, "I have no need of you." Now we know that the head of the body of Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ cannot say to the very lowest member of the body of Christ, "I have no need of you." The Lord Jesus Christ cannot cut off another member of the, or any member of the body of Christ at all. We are all necessary. And if the Lord Jesus Christ cannot cut off a member of the body of Christ, what makes a member of the body of Christ think that they have the ability to cut off another individual? And I say all these things because there are, you know, a number of places where, you know, and I've heard from individuals where they will ask, you know, "Do you know of anywhere, you know, in my area that teaches this doctrine?" And, you know, the closest place to me is, you know, hundreds of miles away. And then you look at other areas, and I can name an area that's, you know, about an hour drive away from me in Buffalo, New York. This area has 3 local assemblies that actually teach the Word of God rightly divided in their city. And those 3 assemblies will have nothing to do with each other, all because of personality issues, all because of thing of, well, you're affiliated with this national group, and we're affiliated with this national group, so we can't have anything to do with you. And instead of being able to function all together, and you think about how in a city, if you had 3 assemblies that were functioning together, doing what the Apostle Paul says, what his responsibility was, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. If those 3 assemblies were functioning together in that manner to make all men see what is the fellowship and mystery, how much impact could they have on their city? And instead of functioning together, all of their resources are all split up. They're all trying to do their own thing, all working, in a sense, against each other, because when it comes down to it, if they present the gospel to someone, it doesn't become a thing, well, you can go to any one of us. It's, well, you have to come to us because you don't want to go over and minister with those people, even though they're members of the body of Christ. That's all the things that run completely contrary to what the Word of God says. It runs contrary to the doctrine that the Apostle Paul is laying. It runs contrary to the pattern that Paul is pointing out with these assemblies and how they're functioning properly. And that example that they should be not only that they were for each other, but how they should really be that example for us today on how we should be functioning as members of the body of Christ today. Now, in our next episode, we'll actually pick up and we'll start verse number 8 next time. So, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And at our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday messages by watching them live on Facebook. There's information about how to do that. There's information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. The phone number and everything for doing that is on our website. And if you ever have any questions or comments about, any of these episodes, anything that you read on our website, or, anything that you hear in any of our other ministries, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.